Though it doesn't seem like a new season out there, it is a new season in here. In the church, we have left behind Lent, and we are headed into this wonderful celebration of Easter that Mark talked about. Our community is meant to move ahead with fresh energy and life. It's time for us to share and to experience the good news of the gospel. It's the good news that Jesus has defeated every enemy, and creation will be restored to what God meant it to be. It's the good news that death is not the end of our story. It's merely a new chapter in which we will experience a whole new level of life for all of eternity. It's the good news that sin's icy grip on our lives is broken, and we can enter into freedom and grace and goodness. In the church, it's a time when we often look at the book of Acts. We look back to explore what those early followers did in the first heady days of the resurrection. We get to see this community transformed from a frightened, self-protective, confused group of mourners to a dynamic movement of believers who invited others to join them and shared freely all that they knew about Jesus. They really are an inspiring example for us. Even when times get tough for them, even when they struggle, there's so much inspiration to gain from them. Today I want to look at a moment in that community that actually just blows me away. It's this glimpse into their life together that makes me salivate. It makes me feel a little desperate to be in a group of people who live like that with each other. It sounds even better than spring to me. So let that be your enticement. We're going to be in Acts chapter 4. So if you brought a Bible with you, that's where we're going to spend the morning, Acts 4. You can turn there. There are Bibles on our bookshelf. Or if you've got a phone with you and want to flip to your Bible app, we will have this up on the screens as well. So Acts 4, and we're going to start our reading in verse 32 to catch a glimpse of this community. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possession, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I mean, just look at them. They share a connection that is heart and soul deep, and it brings this incredible unity among them. Notice that the apostles are moving with great power. They're doing effective outreach to those who haven't committed their lives to Jesus. But I think for me, it's that statement in verse 34 that just catches my heart. There was not a needy person among them. And that is an amazing thing. This community, which would have had a lot of poor people in it, was able to share so generously with one another that need was completely wiped out. Everyone had enough. And we're even given this beautiful example of Barnabas, who saw a need in the community, and he sold some land he had to take care of that need, brought it to the apostles, and they distributed it wisely. There's such health in this community. It's a striking balance of this externally focused ministry, but this internal care of the community. It's worth admiring. The Greek philosophers of the time believed that actually friendship was the most desirable relationship that a person could have. And Aristotle himself envisioned friendship as being people who were unified in heart and mind and shared freely with one another. This is a little bit in contrast. We tend to have the romantic relationship as this idealized relationship, like that's the best you can get. But the ancients believed it was friendship was the very best that you could have. Now, Aristotle believed that this could only happen between people who were equals. They needed to be equal in terms of socioeconomic class, equal in terms of virtue, and equal in terms of cultural refinement or education, you could say. Only equals were capable of friendship. This community is blowing those narrow limits out of the water. They were living out the most ideal relationship of their society, but the barriers that Aristotle had outlined are down because the grace of God and the power of God is flowing so freely between these friends. So how did it happen? What led to this kind of a community that was so powerful and so admirable to the world around them? To learn this, you actually have to read what happened just before this verse. So now we're going to back up and we're going to read starting in verse 23 to see what happened in this community. So there's been a miraculous healing done by Peter and John in the temple, and it was done in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that really upsets the religious leaders of the day. So they haul Peter and John before their court, and their court is called the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin warns these two men to stop talking about Jesus, or they are going to suffer. And we pick up the story, actually, just as Peter and John are leaving the courthouse in verse 23. After they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they raised their voices together to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and everything in them. It is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant." And then they go on to quote here Psalm 2. So there's this description of Psalm 2, which talks about kind of kings and rulers standing against God and his anointed one. Okay, and then we pick up the prayer in 27. "For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand in your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look at their threats and grant your servants to speak your word with boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your Holy Spirit or your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. So there's this amazing prayer that leads to this wondrous transformation of this community. Let's look closer at that prayer. Remember that the circumstances had changed for them. They now are going to face punishment if they continue to share the story of Jesus and to do miracles in Jesus' name. In fact, they mention the Gentile rulers and the Sanhedrin who worked together to crucify Jesus. They know where the threats of these men go. They saw firsthand what happened to Jesus. And they know that they are the next ones in the crosshairs of the Sanhedrin. And look at what they pray. They do not pray that they would be protected. And they do not pray that corrupt officials would be brought down. They pray that they would preach with even more boldness. That God would send more signs and wonders that they are going to need to explain to bring glory and people to Jesus. They know they're going to be afraid. They know they're going to need boldness to be able to speak through the fear and face whatever punishment awaits them. And does God ever answer that prayer? God sends them a physical sensation of the place being shaken, and they experience this fresh anointing of the Spirit. Now, they need this fresh filling of the Spirit because there is now a fresh calling. They need a new level of courage to be able to share the gospel now and to endure the persecution that is going to come. And one of the results of that fresh inflow of the Spirit is that the community itself is transformed. This amazing generosity we see in this community is part of the answer to their prayer. It's as though God just doesn't want them to go preach the good news. He wants the community to be the good news to anyone who would join them. God gives them the boldness they asked for and the miracles they ask for. And then he gives them this unity and generosity, which they didn't think to ask for. He strengthens the community so that they will live out the gospel to the blessing of each other and to the wonder of a watching world. The community actually becomes proof of the gospel the community is preaching. It's really lovely. Leave it to our generous God to answer prayers more deeply than his people pray. This story of a community in full-blown spring is a wonderful invitation to us. It's an invitation to pray the prayer that that community prayed. What could happen if we committed to praying that we would become bolder in our witness to Jesus Christ? That whatever obstacles we were facing, we would find the courage to overcome and share our testimony about the wonderful things Jesus is doing. In fact, we could just take that prayer right out of Acts 4 and start praying it every day. And it's a prayer that God seems delighted to answer. It could birth courage and unity and generosity in such a way that our world would look at our community in amazement and need an explanation. What's going on here? Now, along with that prayer for that bolder witness, I would encourage you to also pray for that fresh anointing of the Spirit. And you might even take the opportunity to be freshly filled with the Holy Spirit together with others. And we have an opportunity for you that's like that. There's actually going to be a seminar on Saturday, the 18th, from 8:30 to noon. And that seminar is focused on living a life that is refreshed by the Holy Spirit and is full of abundance and generosity. Now, I got to take this seminar last fall and was incredibly inspired by it. There are some powerful stories, some great teaching. I have to tell you, the morning just flies by. And your heart is opened as you begin to pray these bold prayers and think bigger about what God could do in you and through us here at Salem. Now, I want to tell you, there's more information in the front of your bulletin there about that seminar, if you're curious about it. It is just a wonderful chance to gather with others and seek the Spirit. If you are feeling like you need a fresh anointing of the Spirit to be able to believe and accept the invitation that our scripture text is offering today, don't miss this chance on Saturday morning to step in with others and experience God's touch in our community. So Salem, there's an invitation today. And it's an invitation given to us by brothers and sisters in Christ who lived 2,000 years ago. They lived during a time of opposition to the gospel, where the skeptics were many and believers were few. They knew the power of God to change lives, to heal, and to make the world run right again. They prayed bold prayers that shook them and the world around them with the glory of God revealed right in the very midst of how they live together in community. And I feel like they're extending their hands to us today. They're inviting us to come and join in the overflow of God's Spirit that leads people to know Jesus, to be deeply connected, and to experience abundance and generosity. And you know what? That sounds a lot like spring. And I think we're ready. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank you for the way you moved in that early community. Praise you, Lord God, for those bold prayers, for your grace flowing through them in power. Thank you for their amazing generosity that they lived out, that drew the eyes of this world around them. Thank you, Lord God, that you transformed them and their witness, and that transformed their world. And so here we are today, Lord God, at Salem, and we are asking you for the courage to pray bold prayers. We're asking you for the courage to bear witness and testimony to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we're asking you to transform our community. Let us be a place of connection and generosity and abundance so that anyone who joins us has to ask, what's going on here? Lord Jesus, we know because of your death and resurrection and the generous gift of the Holy Spirit that this is all possible. Come, Lord Jesus, and bless us as you did them. In your name we pray. Amen.